We've been talking about living life on full of the Holy Spirit. We want to continue that this morning. If you need a handout, raise your hands. We'll get one to you. I think Pastor Tony, did you already take care of the announcements about Harvest Mills like that? Awesome. On your handout this morning, there's some review. We've got some points on the first page that are kind of ones we've talked about. But we were created by God to be His temple, to be His dwelling place, for the Spirit of God to live on the inside of us. And Paul even writes that. He actually mentions that twice. He says, don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Talking about Barnabas, it says he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Full of the Holy Spirit and faith. The word full there in the Greek means to be filled up as opposed to empty. Complete, lacking nothing. Complete, lacking nothing. In the Romans chapter 8, verse 11, it talks about the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. We are created to live life full of the Holy Spirit. The second point there on your handout this morning, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us is God's gift to us. The word gift there in Acts, the book, second chapter, it means something freely given, hence not acquired by merit or entitlement. I'm telling you, we have to get rid of this mentality somehow, some way, that we put ourselves in a position to where we deserve this gift. You know, we say this to everybody that's outside the church. We tell them, come just as you are. Come just as you are. God wants you just as you are. And then it seems like once we get here and we've been in the church for a while, then all of a sudden we get back into that mode of we have to do all these different things in order for us to deserve or earn our merit, God's love. It's always based upon His mercy. It's always based upon His goodness and His grace. This gift of the Holy Spirit in our life, from the time He comes into our life to the time that we leave this world, is a gift. It's freely given and cannot be acquired by merit or entitlement. The third point on your handout this morning, the Holy Spirit is God, our helper. The Holy Spirit is God. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen? And we've been talking about how it's easy for us to relate to the Father. It's easier for us to relate to Jesus. But for some reason, to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, it's more difficult. And I'm going to show you some things this morning that it's not something we're just talking about. It is something that's literally happening in the body of Christ. You're going to see something this morning. I Googled something this morning. I Googled it about the Father, all kinds of responses. I Googled it about the Son, all kinds of responses. I Googled about the Holy Spirit, not one single thing came up related to what I Googled. And so we have a difficult time. We can relate to the Father because we have that mindset. We can relate with the Son because, again, we have that mindset. But when it comes to our relationship with the Holy Spirit, how do we relate with the Holy Spirit? How do we do that? And so we want to get into some of those things this morning. But the Holy Spirit is God, our helper. He is God, and He's the other helper that Jesus said would be sent. John 14, 26 says this, but the helper of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He is the helper. The next point there on your handout this morning, the Holy Spirit has been sent to help us in our weaknesses. He has been sent to help us in our weaknesses. The word help there, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it means one called alongside to help. It means one called alongside to help. I was reading something from Rick Renner. He's a teacher. He's a Bible teacher. And he's over in Russia now. But back when I was in Tulsa, he was at Grace Fellowship. And I was able to hear him minister and teach. But man, he when it comes to the Greek language, he is phenomenal in his understanding. And he was talking about the breakdown of that word helper. We talk about the comforter, the paraclete, all those different things. But he said literally it comes from a word that means to come alongside and to help. To come alongside and to help. So it doesn't mean that he takes over. It doesn't mean that he does. It doesn't mean that we get to sit back and watch. It means that he comes along our side. And when we're doing, and when we're walking, and when we're living, and when we're doing the things that we have to do, he's there to come alongside and help, to grab the other side in a sense. Ever been in a situation where you're lifting something that's either too heavy, too bulky, too awkward, and you're trying to get it up? And all, I mean, the other day I was walking out of IKEA. And as I was leaving IKEA, I had just a little sack. How I made it all the way through IKEA's maze and came out with just a little sack, I do not know. And as I was in there, there was this person trying to slide this thing up, and they would push, and it would slide this way, and then they would get it. And so I just came alongside, hey, can I help you out here? Came alongside, just helped them pick it up, and boom, with two people, it just went in so easily. The Holy Spirit is our helper. We have to understand this. Because for some reason, we think that in order for, let me say it this way. He is sent to help us in our weakness. He's sent to do that. And Jesus said that it was his meat. Jesus received some type of, I don't want to use the word satisfaction. He received some type of meat, some type of spiritual meat when he did the will of him who sent him. Remember the woman? His disciples went on into town to get food. He stayed at the well. He was hungry. He was tired. They went on to town to get food. When they came back, he had been ministering to the lady. And they came back and said, here, Jesus, here, Master, here's food. And he said, I have food to eat of that you don't know of. And so they immediately asked each other, they said, whoa. Did someone beat us back? Did someone try to get some brownie points with Jesus and run back here real quick to give him some food? And Jesus said, the meat that I'm talking about is to do the will of him who sent me. Now, if the Holy Spirit's been sent as our helper, and he helps in our weaknesses, he gets something out of it. Understand what I'm saying here. It's like he lacks nothing, but he receives something from helping us in our weaknesses. But what we try to do is we always try to hide our weaknesses, thinking somehow, some way, that disqualifies us from God's grace in our life. Paul came to the realization that the grace of God in our life was there to help us with our weaknesses. So Paul said this. He said, I will boast in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ, that the power of God can rest upon me. So what I'm saying is, I don't want you to run around and tell everybody, hey, man, I wanted to tell you how weak I am. I'm just a nobody. I'm just this. I'm just that. I'm not telling you to broadcast that. But what I am telling you is to have that attitude of humility with the Spirit and know that without him, you can do nothing. And with him, there's nothing that you can't do. Did I say that correctly? That was our quote at the end last week. Without him, there's nothing I can do. But with him, there's nothing that I cannot accomplish. With his help. And my weaknesses don't embarrass him. My weaknesses don't make him run. My weaknesses don't make him turn his back on me. My weaknesses don't make him shun me. My weaknesses are why he's there. The next bullet point on your handout, our weakness is God's opportunity to help. Come on. We try to act like we got it all together sometimes. We try to look how strong I am in this type of thing, because that's our mentality in the world, that we've got to put that type of facade on, but not with God. We need to be transparent with God. He knows anyways. Come on. See, you're not impressing God when you come in there and you start lining up your victories and all the great things that you've done. Because all that's saying is, God, I don't really need your help here. I don't really need your help here. I really don't need you here. I really don't need you here. I really don't need you here. But did you see what I did? Wanted to let you know, I'm sure you're impressed. Our weakness is God's opportunity to help. Can you say amen? I'm not talking about we run around and broadcast our weaknesses, but I do want to say this, that humility that we have without him, we can do nothing with him. There's nothing we cannot accomplish, is that mentality that we need to have. This morning I got up, and early this morning, in fact, I woke up just laying in bed, meditating, thinking really early, especially since I didn't go to bed till late. It was earlier than my alarm was set, but I got up and I was wide awake. And as I was just sitting, I was meditating about this morning. And about this entire series, Living Full. And I to be honest, I was just getting to the point, I was like, Holy Spirit, how can I teach? How can I teach them about you? It seems that you're connected and involved in everything. You were there in the beginning. You were there in the life of Jesus when he was born, the angel brought that word to Mary. You were there. You were there when he was baptized. You were there when he ministered. You're just connected and involved in everything. I mean, I'm trying to pinpoint. Now, what's the next thing we're going to teach on? And what's the next thing we're going to teach on? And what's the next thing we're going to teach on? And I know I got to get to this. And I know I got to get to this. And I know I got to get to how do we get filled in the Holy Spirit. And I know we got to get to where I would get praying in the Holy Spirit. And I know I would get to get. And I'm just thinking, man, there's just so many. How can I teach him everything about you? And this was his answer. He said, don't teach them about me. I wrote it down. I'm going to read it to you. It's on your handout. He said, do not teach them about me, but introduce me to them. He said, do not teach them about me, but introduce me to them. I thought, well, that's cool. I mean, I know what introduce means, right? When I was back in Kansas, my mom was showing me some photographs and stuff like that, and we were just hanging out, and she's watching this morning. I love you, Mama. And you know, our breakfast the last day before I left, it was one of those heart-to-heart breakfasts we ate at Skates. My dad used to go there every day at 3 o'clock to meet his buddies. And just having those heart-to-hearts, and you know, here it is three years later, and it's still not the same, and all those different things. And then later on that day, I mean, they had to, my dad's dog passed and all that stuff later on that day after I left. And so all those things are going on, and, you know, and so your heart's just sitting there breaking. But we were sitting there right before I left and went back home, dropped off the house, got my bags, like that, getting ready to leave. And she had found this photograph, and she said, come here, look at this. She found this photograph. Somebody had posted it on Facebook, sent it to her, and it's like that. And it was a picture back in the day of my dad's cousin. He was a liker, and my dad's cousin. And he had his own group, his own band. And it looked just like it was straight out of Back to the Future. You remember when they were there, Back to the Future? And McFly played that music, and all the kids were like, it looked just like, I mean, they had the white jackets on and the little thin ties, and they had the microphone leaning back, and he was a good-looking guy. I mean, he's related, so, I mean. You should say amen. So anyway, she said, this is Eddie's cousin. This was your dad's cousin. And she goes, he looks a little like Elvis. And I'm like, yeah, Mom, well, let's not stretch it. But, I mean, he had the hair. Everybody looked like Elvis back then. I mean, why? Because everybody was trying to look like Elvis. She was telling me, she said, he had really good bands like that, really, really, really good group. And she goes, in fact, she goes, you know, your dad played the clarinet. I said, he did? He goes, yeah, he'd play the clarinet in this band every once in a while. I didn't picture my dad being a clarinet player. But I guess he used to play some smoking clarinet. Better than jazz flute, right? So, she's sharing this with me, it's like that. And then she told a story. She goes, you know, she goes, the pep bands is like that you have at your high school is like that. She goes, of course, my dad take credit for anything. He goes, you know, your dad took credit for starting that. I said, he did. He goes, yeah. He said, they used to never have those things. It's about me and 10 of my buddies just took our instruments to the game one night and started playing. I'm like, well, I'm not 100% sure that's where pep band got its original start. But we'll give them credit for that. But this is what she said. She said, you know, she said, he is the one that was married, was dating my closest friend. She was introducing me to the person that introduced my dad to her. She goes, I knew him and would go see him play because my best friend was dating him and eventually got married to him. And she and him introduced me to your dad. I know what introduced means. Amen. See, the Holy Spirit this morning said, don't teach them about me. Introduce me to them. So you know what I asked next? How? Tell me how. And I want you to see something this morning. I want you to, let me real quick, I want to, is there some piece of paper right there? No. All right, I printed them off. Okay, let me tell you what I did. I searched. I Googled. This is what I typed in. The Father's heart. I Googled the Father's heart, and up came probably 7 or 8 books about the heart of the Father. A 365-day devotional about the heart of the Father. That if you would go through that every day for 365 days, you would continue to learn about the heart of the Father. There was so much information. In fact, the third one down was Brother Hagin and Rhema about the Father's heart. So I backed out of that and I Googled the heart of Jesus. And again, up came 2 or 3 books. One was Encounter the Heart of Jesus. There was articles and sermons and messages that talked about Jesus' heart, Christ's heart. Thank you, babe. Did you find him? The heart of Jesus, the very first thing that came up, and it says there's like 528 million results. The heart of Jesus, a heart like Jesus, the 12 promises of the heart of Jesus, falling in love, knowing the sacred heart of Jesus. When I Googled the heart of the Father, it says the heart of the Father, heart of the Father Ministries, there's actually a ministry called that. Last Day Ministries, there was a message, the heart of God. The Father, the Father's heart of God. Kenneth Hagin Ministries, the Father's heart. Understanding the Father heart of God. 366 inspiring devotions to strengthen your relationship with the Father, the heart of the Father. When I Googled the heart of the Holy Spirit, this is where I'm telling you, there's this missing thing. We can identify and relate to Jesus because we have that kind of understanding of a son. He was born in flesh. We kind of have that mentality of a relationship with the Father, the Father's heart. We can understand that. But when I Googled the heart of the Holy Spirit, the very first thing that came up with this was this, 9 ways to tune your heart to the Spirit. Now, talking about his heart. Talking about our heart. The next thing was how to seek the Holy Spirit. The next thing was 67 Bible verses about heart and the Holy Spirit. Heart, hope, and the Holy Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit live in you? What is the Holy Spirit and what does he do for believers? God, the Holy Spirit, the love which dwells in the heart. The Holy Spirit's work in the heart. I could not find one reference by going through 2 or 3 pages on Google. I could not find one reference where they were talking about the heart of the Spirit and who he is. I could find thousands about the heart of the Father. I could find thousands about the heart of Jesus. And so I'd asked the Holy Spirit this morning before I got up and Googled. I asked him how. And this is the scripture that came to me. It's on your handout. Jesus said this. He said, you will know them by their what? Fruit. He said, you will know them by their fruit. And Jesus also said, these two scriptures are on your handout. Jesus said, you'll know them by your fruit. And he also said this, out of the good treasure, a man brings forth good things. Out of the treasure of what? Out of the treasure of his heart. See, when I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, how am I going to introduce them to you? He said, reveal to them my heart. Reveal to them my heart. Tell them, show them my heart. And I said, okay. So I Googled the heart of the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing there. But God had already spoken my heart. God said, you'll know them how? By their fruit. And that a good man out of his good treasure brings forth what? Good things. Those treasures are stored up where? In his heart. So the fruit of something doesn't come from the outside of someone. It comes from what? The inside of someone. That's what they said about David. When the prophet said, certainly this is the one, nope. Certainly this is the one, nope. Certainly this is the one. God said, I don't look at the outward. I look at what? The heart, the inward man. So how are we going to get introduced to the Holy Spirit? How are we going to find out who he is? We will know him by his fruit. And this thought came to me. If you want to introduce them to me, or you want me to be introduced to you, look at my fruit. Because if you look at my fruit, you'll see my heart. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, gentleness, temperance, and control. They may have already set these up on the screen. Number one on your second sheet. You will know them by their fruit. Number two there on the back. The heart of the Holy Spirit is revealed to us by his fruit. You want to get to know him. You want to be introduced to him. You want to know his heart. Look at his fruit. His fruit is a revelation of who he is. Romans 5:5 says this, this hope does not disappoint us, for God has poured out his love into our hearts by means of the Holy Spirit, who is God's gift to us. Number three on your handout, wrapping up this morning. I know what time it is, so we're not going to go much further this morning. Number three, love is the Holy Spirit's heart. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit, and it's a part of who he is. And it's interesting because so many times when we read the word God, we think of God, we immediately attribute the word God to the Father. A lot of times we don't even attribute God to the Son. But most of the time when we read the word God in the Scripture, we don't attribute it at all to the Holy Spirit. But God, the Father, God, the Son, and God what? The Holy Spirit. The Bible says God is love. God is love. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, we could literally read this way. We could say that the Spirit is patient. The Spirit is kind. His heart is kind. He doesn't envy. He doesn't brag. He's not proud. He does not behave himself inappropriately. Does not seek his own way. I mean, come on now. That's one reason what Dave and I were talking one day at breakfast. He goes, how can we dig into who the Holy Spirit is when he doesn't really talk a lot about himself? Because the Bible says that he will reveal those things that God has stored up for us. He'll reveal those things that God has prepared for us. Does not seek his own way. Is not irritable. Does not keep a record of wrongs. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth.
The Spirit bears all things, believes all things. The Spirit hopes all things. He endures all things. The Spirit never fails. The Holy Spirit said, don't teach them about me. Introduce me to them. Don't teach them about me, but introduce me to them. First fruit is love. The first fruit is love. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, it says, for this cause I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family on earth is named, in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that you might maybe strengthen with power through his what? Spirit. In the inner person, on the inside of you. Where's the Spirit on the inside of you? Paul's saying, I bow my knees before the Father. Who's sitting at the right hand of the Father? Jesus, making intercession for us. Where's the Holy Spirit? He's in you. And I'm praying that he will strengthen you with his power through his Spirit that's in you. I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he'll dwell in your hearts through faith, to the end that you, being rooted and grounded in love. The Spirit is love. His fruit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. His fruit reveals his heart, who he is. Verse 18, that you may be strengthened to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know Christ's love which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That right there is incredible. I don't think Paul prayed some lofty, poetic, just awesome sounding prayer, some pie in the sky type prayer that he didn't expect to happen. I believe that Paul was requesting things that he was believing would take place in our life. That we would be strengthened by his Spirit in the inner man. That we would be rooted and grounded in love. That we would be so firmly grounded in God's love for us. Man, it wipes out performance. It wipes out shame. It wipes out guilt. When you know that he is love and his love never fails, never takes an account wrong. See, what we do is we try to walk in love after we've taken the account of somebody wronging us. It says God doesn't take an account of the wrong done to him. Paul's praying this, and Paul says that the ultimate goal is that you'll know the love of Christ, its height, its depth, its width, that you'll know it. Why? So that you can be filled with the fullness of God. Wow. Certainly that's a misprint. Because the fullness of God is a lot. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now notice what Paul says. Man, he ends his prayer with such a statement of faith. He's like, man, that's lofty. Man, that is out there prayer. I'm praying that you'll know the love of God in such a powerful way, that you'll be strengthened on the inside by his Spirit, that you'll be so full, that you'll be full of the fullness of God. We were not created to live life on empty. Yeah. Barely getting around. Just barely getting through. The world's sitting there wondering, are they going to make it? Poor soul. Look at the poor soul. He's always talking about the good Lord. Come on. The fullness of God, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, dwells in you and me. We've got to quit acting like we're running on those cheap alkaline batteries when we got the best alkaline battery we can buy. Come on, you know how that is. You get a toy and they hand you these batteries like,
How long's Panasonic been making batteries? Couldn't afford Duracell? Ever hear of Energizer? Come on, right? We're acting like we got this cheap little battery on the inside of us, barely going to make it up the hill, when we've got the fullness of God dwelling in us. The power of God dwelling in us. I'm going to tell you something this morning. I know where we're going on some of this stuff. Some of this stuff, I'm not sure. But one thing I do know is that he's taking us to a place where Paul tapped into and lived his life. Paul said, in every situation, I have learned how to be content. And you know why he was content? Because how can you not be content when you have a revelation of who's on the inside of you? It doesn't matter if the whole Roman Empire wants to kill you. If the greater one is living on the inside of you, he said this, it doesn't matter who's against me. There is a contentment when you realize that your strength and power, victory, and all those things, joy, peace, come not from outside, not from up there, but from in here. And we're going to tap into that. We're going to look at that. But this morning I'm going to introduce you to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is love. That's his heart. And remember last Sunday I talked about J.D.? I said, if you want to get J.D. talking, ask him about golf. He'll be like, huh? Just like he did. He's back in the camera. His head came out like, huh? If you want to get J.D. talking, ask him about airplanes. As soon as you ask him about airplanes, he'll start talking. Come on.
Yes.
If you want to get the Holy Spirit to commune and fellowship and talk to you, ask him about what interests him. I'm introducing you to him this morning, beginning to introduce you. He is love. You want to have a conversation with him this afternoon? Ask him about love. And he'll just begin to talk to you. You say, what does he sound like, Pastor? What does he sound like? He doesn't sound like really anything. And if I was to say what he sounds more like me when he talks to me. Because he's communing and fellowshipping with me on the inside of me. That most intimate part of my being. I know one thing, he doesn't use these and thous. Come on, because I don't. Come on, can you say amen?
Amen?
The Holy Spirit, when he speaks to you, we're going to get into all that stuff. You know, there's languages. Let's stop this morning. Get up. Stand up with me this morning. Amen. We're going to close. I appreciate your attentiveness. It's been a long service. The Holy Spirit is love. The Holy Spirit is love. And Jesus said this. He said that you being an earthly father and in your weaknesses and in your evilness, if you know how to give good things to your children when they ask you, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? And Jesus specifically said that he will give you the Spirit if you ask him. This morning before we leave, we're going to just close in a word of prayer. And whether you are sure the Holy Spirit's on the inside of your life, or you said, I know that he lives on the inside of me, but man, I can be filled back up. I'm a little low. Whatever it is, it's just a simple request. Father, fill me with your Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for your goodness in our life. And God, I thank you for the promise of the Spirit. I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And God, I thank you that if we ask you this morning, no matter where we're at in the sanctuary, no matter age or whatever, Father, right now, just from our heart, we say, I need your Spirit in my life. Father, give me your Spirit, that promise, that gift, that your word tells us that you'll give it to us. Father, right now, Father, I need to be filled with your Spirit. We constantly need more and more. God, we can't live on yesterday's manna. So Holy Spirit, fill me this morning. Fill us this morning, Father. Fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your love. We thank you for it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I appreciate you guys attending us. God bless you. If your team's in the Super Bowl, I hope they win. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Go outside, get some shorts on, and enjoy the heat wave.